Well, welcome to today's message. I'm excited about the series. I love it. It's just letters to the church. And so we're going to jump right in. We're looking at the letter that Paul wrote to Timothy, actually the second letter. A few months ago, I did the book of 1 Timothy, and I've been wanting to follow up. So, and sincerely with love, here we have the second letter from Paul, St. Paul, to his true son in the faith that he says in the first book, Timothy. So if you remember 1 Timothy, and if you haven't, you should go back and read it. It's basically Paul telling Timothy that he needs to cling to Christ, keep his conscience clear. That's the second thing. Be sure to pray for people and with people, use the gift that God's given him, and then evaluate his life. And so he's writing a second letter to Timothy. And so we're going to jump right in. We're going to go through all four chapters of the book. So stick with me. We're going to do it quickly because I want you to get the big picture of what it is that God is speaking to you. And I think we can see that through the relationship that Paul had with Timothy. And like a good father had a heart for his spiritual son, and God has a heart for you as a son or a daughter. And this wasn't just written to Timothy. This is scripture. This was inspired by the Holy Spirit, and it's applicable for you and for me. So here we go. Jumping right in chapter one, because I'm doing all four books, I'm just going to hit. Here they are. I remember, verse 5, I remember your genuine faith. He's talking to Paul writing Timothy. I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I know that the same faith continues strong in you. So Paul's writing saying, I know where you came from. You came from a healthy, good family. You had a grandmother and a mother who loved the Lord, and that same faith is in you. And then in verse 8, he says this, or verse 6, excuse me, it says, this is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift that God gave you when I laid my hands on you. He says, I want you to fan into flame the gift that God has given you. So here's the first thing. I got five things that as I read through this, I'm like, whoo, and they're all kind of preachy. So listen up. Here it is. Here's the first one. We are called to burn bright. So where is it where God's given you something? You need to fan that gift that he's given you into flames. What's he spoken to you? Has anybody prayed for you and like you felt something? You sensed that God did something in you. I want you to go back and remember that time and fan that gift, that moment into flames so that you are burning bright with the love of Christ in your heart and that you can breathe everywhere that you go because you're fanning into flames the gift that God's given you, whether you can speak, whether you can make things beautiful with art, whether you have a gift of hospitality, whether you have discernment and you can see what people are going through. I want you to burn bright. This is what Paul is telling Timothy, and this is what the Lord's speaking to us. Burn bright. He says, I want you to fan into flames the spiritual gift that God gave you. Then he says this in verse 7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power and love and self-discipline. The opposite of faith is not doubt. The opposite of faith is fear. And it says that God's not given us a spirit of fear. In other words, we should have faith. So he says, it's not a spirit of fear or timidity. In other words, we're not called to be timid. We're called to be bold. He says, but of power, that we know that when we are living for the Lord, we are people of power. We're not just people of power. What else does it say? That we're people of love and self-discipline. I want you to experience the power of God in your life where there have been moments where God's spoken to you. Maybe somebody like Paul with Timothy put their hands on you and they had a word for you. They prayed for you and you felt like there was a deposit from the Lord for you in that moment. Just know that is the power of God at work in you so that you can operate in his love. And his love is always to bring transformation to you and then through you so that he can use you to bring his love and power to other people. This is where self-discipline comes in, because if you're left to your own devices, maybe I'm just speaking to me, but I don't think I'm just speaking to me. I'm looking at the guys behind the camera. It's not just me. We left to our own devices, we typically end up at not a good place. However, when we go back and we remember, boy, Paul writing to Timothy so many times, just remember, remember. I'm thinking about my message for next week too, where so often it's remember, remember. given us a spirit of power, love, and self-discipline. So he says this, he says, so never be ashamed to tell others about our Lord. Don't be ashamed of me either, even though I'm in prison for him. With the strength God gives you, be ready to suffer with me for the sake of the good news. For God saved us and called us to live a holy life. He did this not because we deserved it, but because that was his plan from the beginning of time, to show his grace through Christ Jesus and through us. He wants to use you. We're called to be the hands, the feet, the voice of Jesus. Are you burning bright? This is the first thing that I want you to get. We're called to burn bright. Paul is writing to Timothy and he's saying, burn bright. Fan into flames the gift that God's given you. How has God gifted you? Where have you been touched by God and other people who put their hands on you and said, I think there's something in you? Man, I hope you have that. It's such an encouragement. Those words from the Lord that he'll use by other people, the means of other people delivering it to you. Fan that flame, that little spark into a flame so that you can burn bright. Here's the first thing that I want you to get out of this book, out of 2 Timothy. Burn bright. Here's the second thing. You need to hold tight. Hold tight. You ever have somebody tell you that? Hey, just hold tight. Hold tight to what? Well, look at verse 13. Paul writes and he says this, hold on to the pattern of wholesome teaching that you learned from me, a pattern shaped by the faith and love that you have in Christ Jesus. What do we need to hold tight to? To the pattern of wholesome teaching that you've heard. Where has God instructed you? Where have you heard somebody teach something and went, man, that's good. You need to hold tight to that. I'm a huge advocate of taking notes. I mean, if you look at my Bible, like you can just, this is my Bible right here. You can see that? You can see that it's full of notes. I mean, I can just flip anywhere and there's gonna be something in there where I'm highlighting something somewhere where I'm writing something. I just flop to 1 Samuel. I'm taking notes in here. Why is that? I'm not showing you that to like, oh, look at me, all right. No, I'm showing you that because there's a lot that I need to learn and I need to hold on to, so I'll write it down. Where are you holding on to wholesome teaching? What is the Lord speaking to you? What is he speaking to you in his word? What is he speaking to you when other people are speaking about his word? I'm a prolific note taker and I'm a great note taker because I've perfected the art of it. You know why I'm a good note taker? Because I've practiced it. Why? Because I need it, and I want to hold on to the pattern of wholesome teaching. I want you to grow. Here's my heart for you, that you know who you are in Christ, that you know that God loves you and that he delivered you from the curse of sin, that it can be broken in your life and it can stay broken, but you have to burn bright for him, and you have to hold tight to what he's already shown you. I can go back through notebooks that I have from 15 years ago, 20 years ago, and I can read where God was speaking to me, and I regularly do go back. Okay, if I'm honest, some of those are still in storage from the storm 2 years ago, but I still have all of my notes since then that I can go back and read and look at. I can go back on my computer where I also have digital notes. I have digital notes and hard copy notes. Why am I bemoaning this point? Because part of how we burn bright and stay bright is that we hold tight. We hold tight to what God's shown us in the past. Maybe God's given you a dream. Go back and write that down so that you can go back to it. It becomes like an anchor of where God's met you, where God's spoken to you. Hold tight to those things. Hold tight. Chapter 2, because here's the next thing. We're called to teach right. We're called to burn bright, hold tight, teach right. Look at what Paul says to Timothy. He says, Timothy, my dear son, be strong through the grace that God gives you in Christ Jesus. In other words, don't be weak. Don't be full of fear or timidity. Remember, he's already saying, listen, you don't have those things. He's calling them out in Timothy and for us as well. We shouldn't have a spirit of fear or timidity. That we need to be strong through the grace that God gives you in Christ Jesus. Remember, he said power and love and self-discipline, strong mind. Look at what he says in verse 2, Timothy 2:2. He says, you have heard me teach things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others. Okay, what does that mean? Here's how we teach other people correctly. Look at the generational transfer that's taking place here. Paul is writing saying, listen, you need to grow strong in the grace of Jesus. And when you do, You heard the things from me. Hold on tightly to what I've taught. Remember that pattern of wholesome teaching that we just talked about? So this is Paul teaching Timothy. Then it says, you've heard about me teach things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now you teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others. There's three generations of teaching here. We're to teach right. We're to receive the teaching that we get from other people who have gone before us, who or maybe a step ahead of us. Here's how we teach right, because we find ourselves right in the middle. This is where a healthy teacher comes from. They remember the lessons that were taught them and learned by their mentors. They are willing to teach the people around them. In other words, I have to actively go out and speak the truth that God's revealed to me. But here's the third thing. In those people that I'm speaking to, I'm encouraging, empowering, and equipping them to go out and teach the things that they've learned from me. Success for me is not simply, wow, that was a great lesson. No, I want you to more than get it. It's not, the success is not, oh, wow, man, somebody coming to me and say, I learned so much. Thank you. That's great. That's nice. That's not the goal. The goal is that you're able to receive from the Lord, such truth that now you are able to impart that to somebody else. This is what we are called to. I need to receive the teaching from people that have really learned from the Lord. I need to be willing to speak, but here's where the win happens. Not simply in me receiving. That's good. I want that. I want that for you as well. I pray that you receive from me. I want you to be able to teach other people, but I want you to teach other people who can teach other people. See, this is a generational transfer of revelation and faith. This is how we grow. We're called to burn bright, to hold tight to good teaching, but to teach right. And it's not just to teach other people what God has shown us. That's good. But the best is when now we're equipping, encouraging, and empower them to teach other people. This is how we grow. My dad, I remember him when I was a young man telling me about his time in medical school. And with any procedure, any physical procedure that they did, this was the model that they used to learn it. See one, do one, teach one. See one, do one, show one. This is the same method. It's actually, the medical school took it right out of 2 Timothy. You see one. You do one, you show one. And here's what you'll find. As you receive the word of God from other people, then you begin to live it out yourself and speak it out yourself. You really grasp it. But when you teach somebody to teach somebody else, you got it down in your heart. And I want you to get the truth of who God is and who you are because of Christ down in your heart. We're called to burn bright. We're called to hold tight, wholesome teaching. But we're called to teach right. It's not just teach what we've learned. It's to teach people to teach others. Are you doing that? Okay. Then here's the fourth thing. Yeah, we're called to burn bright, hold tight, teach right. Here's the fourth one. You ready? Stay in the fight. Stay in the fight. We're called to stay in the fight. It says, endure suffering with me. This is the next verse. Hey, teach those people that'll be able to pass them on to others. The next verse, endure suffering along with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Soldiers don't get tied up in the affairs of civilian life, for then they can't please the officer who enlisted them, and athletes can't win the prize unless they follow the rules, and hardworking farmers should be the first to enjoy the fruits of their labor. Think about what I'm saying. The Lord will help you understand all these things. In other words, we've still got to be willing to stay in the fight, and that is hard because look at verse 3, exactly what it says. The first two words, endure suffering. Endure suffering. Part of following Jesus is just like Jesus, we have to put up with a crazy world. that will inflict pain on us. It's not fun. But following Jesus is not for the faint of heart. It's for those whose lives have been transformed by his love. And you know that you've been forgiven and redeemed because of Jesus, and we follow him. Hebrews 5:8 says, although he was a son, he learned obedience through the things which he suffered. We're going to suffer too. We're called to stay in the fight. And Paul writes to Timothy and says, hey, you got to get through the tough times. And then he gives three examples. I know all three. Soldiers. I wasn't in the military. I tell people I was in the service. I was in the postal service. That's a terrible joke. But soldiers endure suffering. Why? Because they have a mission. They don't get involved in the civilian life around them. They are on a mission. Athletes. I know this. I was a competitive swimmer. I competitively rode bikes and dirt bikes. And I know this, that athletes must suffer if they want to win. In cycling, there's an adage. It's like, the person who suffers the most will win the most. Soldiers suffering because they're on a mission. Athletes suffering because their eyes are on the prize. Farmers, man, I grew up working on farms. That is a hard, hard lifestyle. And you got to work hard and have faith. Like, I remember the time looking up, man, is it going to rain? Please let it rain for the crops because you're focused on the fruit. We need to focus on the mission. We need to keep our eyes on the prize, and we need to recognize is the fruit is the goal because it's what feeds us and other people. We have to stay in the fight. Well, the rest of this book, he goes on in chapter 2 in verse 15 says, work hard so you can present yourself. And then he says, I'm skimming here for time's sake. Avoid worthless, foolish talk. Verse 19 says, but God's truth stands firm like a foundation stone. The Lord knows who are his. All who belong to the Lord must turn away from evil. Listen, we're called to stay in the fight. We got to endure hardship. Hold on to the word of the Lord. Run from wickedness and evil. Stay in the fight. Chapter 3, he says this. You should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be very difficult times. Suffering and difficulty go hand in hand. And I look at the world around us and I read the Bible and go, man, it kind of looks like the last days around here, doesn't it? Listen, I don't know if it's the last days, if it's the end of days, but I know that you probably don't have that many left, do you? Maybe 80 years? It's a drop in the bucket to eternity. It's a drop in the bucket of human history. We all have little time left. I don't know how much you have. I don't know what the counter is on your life. I don't know what the counter is on mine, but I know this. We're not just going to have to endure suffering. We're going to have to endure difficult times because it is the last days. Maybe, I mean, you're talking to a pastor. You're talking about Revelation? Maybe, I don't know. But I know it's getting closer to your last days every day. And difficult times are coming. Jesus said this. He made this promise. I don't like it, but it's true. He said, in this world, you'll have trouble, but take heart. I've overcome the world. I want you to burn bright. Hold tight. Teach right. Stay in the fight. Verse 14 says, chapter 3, remain faithful to the things you've been taught. Are you faithful to what you know is the right thing? Are you faithful? Are you remaining faithful? And here's the last thing as we wrap up. Be the light. Be the light. We're called to be the light. He says this in chapter 4, verse 2. Preach the word of God. Be prepared, whether the time is favorable or not. Patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching. This is for all of us. Everywhere we go, we are called to be the light. And we should be walking close enough with the Lord that we have a word from him that we can share with others. What's it say? To encourage your people. Encourage the people around. Don't you love the people that are just encouraging and make you feel like you can conquer the world? Listen, that's what we're called to be in difficult times through suffering, to recognize that the word that God gives to us is one of light and life and to be ready. That's what Paul is writing to Timothy. He's saying, listen, you got to be ready in season, out of season. Preach the word. Be prepared. Are you prepared to share an encouraging, life-giving word from the Lord with the people around you? We are called to be the light. That's it. That's 2 Timothy. May you burn bright. May you hold tight to what you've already been taught. May you teach others who can teach others. Teach right. Stay in the fight. Yeah, I know it can be difficult. There's suffering and hardship and difficult times. But we are called to be the light. How do you vanquish darkness? It's a good question. How do you do that? Only one way. You shine the light. So let the light shine through you. And maybe you feel like you've been walking through a dark season. I pray that this word is for you, that you know that God's heart for you is to encounter His love and His light so that your life, your internal life, is lit with the flame of His Spirit and His love and His purpose, and that you burn bright in everything that you do. You'll never be the light to a dark world around you unless you first have that flame of His Spirit inside of you. Maybe that's you. If that's you, just pray with me. You need a prayer of surrender to Christ. So, Father, I just pray for those that can hear my voice. Lord, maybe they've never allowed you to light a fire inside of them. They've been walking in darkness, but today they have a revelation that, Jesus, you love them. You paid the price to break the curse of sin in their life on that cross. You gave your life so that they could live. And you rose again to show that they could too. If that's you, just pray with me. Say, dear Jesus, I turn to you. I receive your forgiveness and I turn from my sin. May you light my life and my path. I'm following you in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen, if that was you, let us know what's going on. Let us know. Great being with you today. Good seeing you. Look forward to next week. God bless. Bye-bye.